It's the Brent Waterville Show, AM 760. Talk and breaking news. Good to be spending this time with you. And I'm happy to welcome back to the program our very good friend. He is Father Bill Nicholas from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, way up at the other end of the state. Father Bill, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good, Brett. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm a little perplexed, though. I'm a little perplexed as I'm looking at the news that moved over the weekend. Certainly a lot of outrage surrounding the Covington Catholic High School attendees at the March for Life and the amount of anger that ensued because of an alleged confrontation with a Native American man named Nathan Phillips. And I saw so much outrage surrounding the Covington Catholic School young men that I thought maybe one of them had been, you know, appointed to the Supreme Court, or nominated to the Supreme Court. I mean, I haven't seen that much outrage since last October. What's going on here with all this?
Well, it was interesting. I actually learned about this news watching one of the talk shows, Saturday evening talk shows on cable, and it was DVRing it, and I didn't actually see a report. It was on the ticker that you see at the bottom of the screen. It'll have news reports going by, and I saw Catholic High School and the Catholic Diocese of Covington and the students. So I rewound it and read it, and I thought, you know, it sounded pretty serious. You know, obviously the school apologized and the Diocese of Covington apologized. Then, of course, on Sundays, as you can imagine, I'm a little busy, but sure. I did manage to see on social media a couple of the videos. And when I first saw the video, I'm watching it and thinking, well, what's to object? I didn't see the young man's taunting. He was basically standing there smiling. Mm-hmm. And as he stood there, the gentleman, the veteran, got closer and closer to him with the drum until, at least the video I saw, the drum covered the camera at the very, very end of it. And then as the day went on, you'll learn that, you know, there's more to this than was initially reported. Multiple cameras got it from multiple angles. And, I found it unfortunate that there was a rush to judgment from a number of people, I guess, including the high school and the diocese. And I don't want to make any judgments there because, I mean, let's be frank, no one likes egg on their face.
Sure.
But the thing, and upon seeing the different commentaries about it and looking at the videos, I mean, the first thing I like to point out is these young people were in Washington marching for people who could not march for themselves. And that in itself is incredibly courageous nowadays, because we see the hostility toward the pro-life movement. And then this on the weekend in which we're remembering Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
Among so many things that he said and the tremendous legacy that he has, I would think that my personal favorite is he dreams of a day in which his children are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And, as it turned out that, you know, this young man and the other students were chanting their school, school slogans. Mm-hmm. And some of them seemed not so much mocking, but, you know, amused. Everyone is kind of having fun. Obviously, there was a tense moment with another group the Jewish group that's called Black Israelites, I believe.
Yes.
Who were making anti-white, anti-European comments to them. But you see the young man standing there just smiling, and I have never known a smile to be a negative
right.
Thing, and yet so many are interpreting the smile negatively. He wasn't mouthing vulgarities or epithets. He wasn't sticking his tongue out. He wasn't making gestures. He was just standing there smiling and, in effect, taking it. And, if that's something that's to be disdained, I can't, you know, one would think he was exercising a great deal of restraint. And, you didn't see any hostility in him.
Yeah.
And in a weekend in which we're remembering someone who said, "Let us not judge people by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." On the one hand, we were speaking of Mr. Phillips as a Native American activist and a veteran,
yeah.
A veteran who's to be admired. On the other side, they were spoken of as being white, mm-hmm. Catholic, mm-hmm. and wearing red hats.
Yes.
Yeah, they were being judged for their red hats and their European ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
And then for being Catholic or Christian, people were chiding the Catholic education they were getting, saying, "What kind of an education? What kind of kids are you raising here?" And it was interesting seeing this dynamic on the weekend in which we're celebrating someone who says, don't judge someone by the externals, but by the content of their character.
So it's a great point. It's a great point. And, you know, in addition to this, the thing that I find so, look, I've come to expect this, so it's not surprising by any measure, but that the only tangential coverage you get of the March for Life, where there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that come into D.C. to speak out in defense of life. Hundreds of thousands, right?
Hundreds of thousands, yeah.
Hundreds of thousands who come in to speak about the importance of protecting life from conception through natural death and the dignity inherent in all of that, that the only coverage you see in the mass hysteria mainstream press and on the social medias attached to that is dealing with a sideshow event that is this man with a drum, these kids, they're reacting to each other's presence, and yet there's a virtual blackout on the coverage of the March for Life, which has with it some of the highest ideals. Also, I happen to know, because I was a graduate of a Catholic high school, not this one, obviously, but a Catholic high school. You know, when you go on the road trips, you don't send necessarily everybody goes on the road trip, not necessarily, and you always... You're sure to send out your best representatives of your institution when you take a, whether it's a sports road trip or an academic road trip, you want your best foot forward. And I agree with you. This kid is smiling. You know what I was struck by? I was one of these kids that when you yelled at me when I was, you know, in my late adolescence, early adulthood, if I had somebody yelling at me, I had that nervous start to laugh kind of thing that you're trying to hold back because you're nervous, you're scared. That's what it looked like to me he was doing. Like he was just trying to say, I'm in this weird moment right now. This guy's drumming 3 inches from my face and, you know, and he's smiling. I mean, he's not, like you said, he's not jostling. He's not cursing. Nobody laid hands on anybody else. I mean, that's all a net plus because I think he was modeling the right kind of behavior from being somebody who would be on the road.
Yeah, and I'll have to say, as a Catholic, I certainly won't mention any names,
sure.
But considering what he was standing up for there in Washington,
yep.
and what perhaps drew the people who were chiding that particular group of high school students, which led up to this particular incident, it calls to mind someone else who also stood up by himself very quietly as people were chiding him and accusing him. And ultimately crucifying him, but he took it silently. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, one thing I'm noticing is that the pro-life movement is getting younger and younger.
Sure.
That's
is.
Something to note in this
sure
country.
Yep.
And it's admirable to see these high school students who, okay, going to Washington is pretty exciting, but
sure.
To also go there to march for life,
mm-hmm.
that came from their Catholic faith that they're learning in school, that came from how their parents are raising them. The fact that this young man appeared, at least in the video I saw,
yes.
to exercise tremendous restraint is a great tribute to how he was raised mm-hmm. and the values that he has. And that does, it does show that when you are standing up for such things as life,
mm-hmm.
When you are wearing something that shows you are a Catholic and go to a Catholic school, it shows a great deal of character to stand up like that. And I understand he also made a public statement in which he stood up for himself and his friends. That, too, took a great deal of character. And as for the Make America Great Again caps, you know, it's an interesting, getting back to Martin Luther King Jr.,
sure.
When you're talking about judging people by the color of their skin, it's someone else making a judgment about you
sure.
because of the color of your skin. Here we see, again, someone else making a judgment about them because of the color of their skin or the hat that they're wearing.
Right.
One thing I think is worth noting is for 3 years running now, Vice President Pence, our vice president, has spoken personally at the March for Life.
Yes.
And now two years running, President Trump himself has addressed the March for Life. No other president has done that. And all I can say is, why wouldn't people marching for life wear a hat that shows support for a president who supports them?
It's a good point.
And yet other people are jumping in and saying, well, that stands for a white hood. Mm-hmm. That stands for racism.
Right.
Well, one could say, no, given the event, that hat stands for life.
It's a great point, and it's not one to be overlooked, especially given the track record of the president's appointees when it comes to the issue of life. I mean, that is just a fact that cannot be disputed. But
yeah, and you look at what his appointees mm-hmm. have had to endure
right.
for the man who appointed them, and in some cases for their Catholic faith.
Right. In addition to this, we'd be remiss if we didn't note, because you were in D.C. a couple of years ago for the inauguration. I've been there a couple of times since, mm-hmm. not for the inauguration, but for other political events and things that I'm covering in the news. You can't go a block without there being a cart selling the MAGA hats. I mean, as much as
True.
People get upset about it, I mean, it's a souvenir. It's like the I Love New York T-shirt that everybody buys when they go to New York with the heart, you know, or the apple on it, right? And it's a thing. There's tons of these vendors, and these are people of color. These are of probably immigrants. These are people of the entire rainbow of possibilities in humanity, and they're all selling these hats. You can buy them in the airport when you land at Dulles or at Reagan, and it's like they turn this thing into Alyssa Milano said, the red hat is the new white hood. It is not. You can't go buy a white hood anywhere on a corner in D.C. I mean, it's just, that's an overblown thing. Can I pivot you over to one other thing real quick?
Sure.
Do you have time to hold on for one more segment for me? I'm kind of blasting you out of the past here, but I want to get your thoughts about this back and forth that's going on, generally speaking. I don't want to bring you into politics, but generally with this Knights of Columbus thing that percolated, would you have any thoughts on that when we come back?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
It's not
a political question. It's not going to be in any way, shape, or form political. It's going to be more discussing what that organization represents, because that has been caught up in a political maelstrom here in the last couple of weeks. And I think it's important for people to understand the sort of charitable work and things like that they do.
Sure.
Okay,
sure,
cool.
Hold on.
Excellent. Okay, Father Bill Nicholas sticking around with us. It's the Brett Winterbull Show, AM 760. Talk and breaking news. Jim Charvette with headlines. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, AM 760. Talk and breaking news. Continuing our conversation, Father Bill Nicholas from the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Quickly, in our last couple of minutes here, Father, we've watched a lot of politicking and positioning going on vis-a-vis the Knights of Columbus and whether a judge could be a member of the Knights of Columbus, what they do. Could we demystify what the Knights of Columbus really do? I mean, it's not some secret order. That's a charitable group. They're trying to do good things, right? I mean, am I nuts about this? Am I overreading this?
Well, speaking, of course, as a Knight of Columbus myself, although I always love to tout myself as the longest running first degree knight in history.
Sure.
I've been with them for 30 years, but I'm still first degree. They have up to 4 degrees. The only thing really secret about them are their individual ceremonies of promotion and initiation of new members. But the work that they do is always charitable. Everything points to charity. And they're very supportive of the parishes that they belong to. Some of them are independently organized, but still supportive of their local churches. And charity is the big issue with them. My grandfather was a Knight of Columbus for many years. One of my uncles is a member of the Knight of Columbus. It's one of the oldest and largest Catholic organizations in the world. And it was started as a means of also providing insurance for Catholic families, because you know there are people who work specifically for the Knights of Columbus selling things like life insurance. But their main drive is charity, and the work that they do is tremendous. And it's not something you see them really touting, like other organizations. They would mention they're a Knight of Columbus. You know them because they're active in the group. But as recently as they're being labeled extremists, I would say the only extreme attitude they have is toward the charity that they bring about and the support they give to their local parishes and the Catholic Church. They obviously stand up for Catholic values, and even in the political realm at times, that is to say, campaigns and elections. Mm-hmm. But in terms of political activity, they really don't engage in much of it, helping and work for the poor and those in need is their basic mission, and they're to be a group of men to be admired for that.
For sure, and I'll editorialize this. You're not. That's why they run in competition with the government, because they're taking care of the poor and they're doing it out of a voluntary way. And that's all Brett Winterbull's going to say about it. Father Bill Nicholas, thank you so much for coming by. We always enjoy our visit, and I'm going to have you on with me on Newsmax tomorrow at 7:15 Pacific, 10:15 Eastern, and look forward to our chat. Right. Until then, have a wonderful night. Have a great night, Father.
All right, see you tomorrow.
All the best. That's Father Bill Nicholas. 800-760-KFMB, 800-760-KFMB.